Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning, Megan Cullop.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Yeah.
Look at us.
I know. Look at us.
Yeah.
You look very Memorial Day weekend today.
I'm ready to go out on the boat or something, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. You look like yacht ready. Yeah,
that's right. Well, we'll be at Riverfest later today, so it's kind of water adjacent.
It is on the water.
Yeah. So yes. That's what I'll be doing. And what's your outfit reflecting today?
Oh, nothing. This is the, normally I wear a button-down blouse every day of the week, and then by Friday I'm like,
You made it to Friday.
I made it to Friday.
This is your
t-shirt.
I have to do laundry. This is what you get.
All the nice shirts have been spent for
the week. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, very good. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome viewers and listeners. This is our Solutions from the Street program, heard every second and fourth Friday of the month here on KSJE, where we talk about solutions to community problems and things that are going on in the community.
That's right.
That's what we're doing.
Solutions-focused journalism.
Exactly. And so today we actually have two different topics that we're going to be talking about. The first topic, though, is why our guests are with us this morning.
Yes.
Let's start there.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Crisis Drop-In Center, which is something that exists in a lot of other communities across the United States. And we don't currently have one here, but there's a team of people working to rectify that.
All right. So they are working on the solution.
Right now it's in the nascent stages, but they're working on a solution.
Okay. Very good. Well, let's introduce our guests who are here with us in the studio. Christine Carlson is here from Presbyterian Medical Services. Christine, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Good to have you here. And you are the chair of this group, right?
Yes, by default.
By default. But it happened. And very good. And we also have on the phone Lisa Gomez from San Juan County is joining us as well. And Lisa should be able to hear me and everyone else. Lisa, good morning to you.
Good morning. And it's actually by design, Christine.
There was some thought into that chairmanship election is what you're saying. Understood.
Sure.
Well, thank you for being here. As well. And so let's start by talking about this whole concept of this crisis drop-in center. Megan, you said other communities have something like this. So what is it? Just if someone's in a crisis, they have a place to go? Is that the idea?
Well, let's toss it off to Christine. Can you explain the concept behind a crisis drop-in center?
Sure. Excuse me. Sure. So this is really a focus for individuals with mental health issues or having a mental health crisis. And currently the system sort of exists that you have options, but you may not know what those options are, and you may not be able to connect to services. So unfortunately, people may end up at the hospital who don't necessarily need to be there, or in jail who don't really need to be there. So a mental health crisis drop-in center serves many purposes. The drop-in center part just gives individuals who are experiencing mental health crisis or just need to connect to services a place to just go. The crisis part, which is awesome, allows law enforcement officers a place to take someone that's not the hospital, that's not the jail. Within the crisis center, then, you have, counseling services, you have crisis services, peer support services, all of those type of things together in one location to really kind of come together around someone. And we have successful models even in our own state. Doña Ana County is operating one. There's one in Albuquerque. And I know Lisa has been part from the beginning. She may have a little bit of history, but at this point, this is our dream. And I've been really surprised pleasantly by how many community members and groups have reached out to join, to join our group. Megan being our newest member, yay!
Oh, so there you go.
But we have the city, we have the county, we have PMS, we have the hospital there, we have victim services represented, and we have a few attorneys. I know I'm losing a lot of people, but it's really been pretty amazing.
And is there room for more?
There is always room for more.
Okay. All right. Very good. Lisa Gomez, can you add anything to kind of this idea of how this all got started that Christina's describing?
I'd be glad to. And so Doñana County built a crisis triage center like 10 years ago in response to the need for just mental health services in their community. It's only been maybe less than 5 years they actually had a contractor to run it. That was the first county in the state of New Mexico to have such a facility with a response that's not inpatient. And so then Bernalillo County, Albuquerque, then had this as part of their plan as identified in their gap analysis, which San Juan County also had a gap analysis, contracted and developed by some experts, and they came to the community. It is identified as a gap. And so the history is, it's an idea that we know that the need exists in the community. Law enforcement continually says, I visited this great place in Tucson. Can we get it in San Juan County? We need a place to take people that aren't appropriate for the jail, that aren't appropriate for the hospital. And it will relieve both those systems if we could develop this idea. And so, ironically, there's like three different committees in the community talking about the need. Judge Gurley has a mental health and courts committee that was identified as a major goal. The mental health task group that meets every month that's been talked about. We have a homelessness solutions committee that's staffed all by volunteers, different agencies in the community, saying we need this. And lastly, the law enforcement and first responders saying, gosh, we really need something in our community. The Mental Wellness Resource Center was thought that that was a place to take folks in crisis, but don't do that because we're not mental health professionals, but we'd be glad to connect you to services.
Right.
That's the history of the idea.
Okay.
There. We're developing it. We're talking to decision makers, hoping to approach decision makers to fund a feasibility study and, business plan so we can figure out how to get this done.
Okay. I got it. And so that's going to be my next question, too, to both of you, is that this then would provide different services than we already have, because we have Lisa, you mentioned the Mental Health Resource Center, but it's really not a place that can begin treatment or help patients immediately when they walk in the door. You can refer people to other services, but like other services that we have, like Total Behavioral Health and Sobering Center and things like that, this would be a unique and different resource for this particular need. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. And it's interesting because I think we have a lot of these services in our community already sort of separately. So part of the plan is to pull those resources together. And then, to fill the needs, the gaps that we have. So, for example, the Sobering Center is a great resource for individuals who are intoxicated. Part of the crisis center is to mirror some of those same services, but for individuals experiencing a mental health crisis, because it's not necessarily appropriate for them to be at the sobering center.
Right.
And to keep people out of jail and to keep people out of the emergency room when we can, maybe handle that a little easier in a more appropriate setting. The support that we've had, I think, I wanted to say from the courts, from law enforcement, from the city and the county, have just been amazing. It's just been amazing.
It sounds like they all tend to agree that this is something that we need.
Yes.
For the population.
Yes.
And it sounds to me too, and maybe Lisa Gomez, you can pick up on this question, that it would be cheaper maybe to have a dedicated center like this than sending folks to the ER or other places. Is that kind of what the studies have shown in the other places where they have these centers?
Oh, goodness, yes. It's identified as an emergency room diversion and jail diversion. you know, option. So it is very expensive to house someone in jail. And if they're not appropriate to be in jail or they're not appropriate to be in the ER, definitely, you know, it's a cost that's not necessary. And we can use take those resources and put them into a more sustainable, you know, facility and provide a more appropriate service.
Got you. And I would think that would get the attention of some of the governmental and other agencies then, if you talk about budgets and maybe cheaper to be able to do this. Megan?
Yeah. So we're in the early stages. So what is this? We've dreamed this vision. We've seen some places that have done it. What's the next action step that the committee is going to take?
So our next step is really to formalize a business plan. Our first goal really in that plan, as it is sort of coming to be, is to obtain some funding for research and database so we know exactly what the need is, what scale we need, and what services we already have. And so that's a process that we've started working on.
Very good. And another, and then the timeline, I guess, would be to try to fund this feasibility study and then look for more funding, obviously, to actually do brick and mortar or what have you to open this up?
Yeah, so there's two paths we're going down. And one is clearly the brick and mortar and location plan. And then the other is sustainability, right? How do we make sure that we are filling this building with services that are reimbursable and those types of things? And what can we knit together that'll keep us going forward?
Got you. And of course, the theme of this show has always been kind of the non-governmental solution to a community problem. Now, Lisa, don't take this the wrong way. We love San Juan County and all their support. But it's non-governmental groups, too, that are maybe the key to making this successful. Places like the hospital, okay, Presbyterian Medical Services, and things like that. Is that true?
Yeah,
that's absolutely the key. I'm sorry, Christine. So
go ahead.
San Juan County, you know, has a place and ideas in helping to make things happen, but we aren't mental health professionals. We don't want to hire a bunch of mental health professionals, but we want to be a partner because we recognize the need. And who needs bigger government, Scott? But
right.
And we want to help be the solution for our community. We want the best for our community. The need is there. It's clearly there. Law enforcement should have been on this call. I hadn't even think to invite them, but they have some great statistics, and they do their best to respond to mental health crisis.
Right. Well, this is our first conversation about this topic, but probably not our last. So we will make sure to reach out to law enforcement for the next time. But that was going to be another one of my questions was, it seems to me that more and more these days, the law enforcement community is maybe one of the first contacts that these individuals who are maybe in crisis have when they are responding to a call. And it may not be anything more than just a suspicious person walking around, and then the police show up and start talking to them and find out maybe they're in some type of a crisis. And now what do the police officers do? Their options are somewhat limited, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a time component to that too, right? A mental health crisis isn't something that gets solved very quickly. And, you know, our officers are under a lot of pressure to do a lot of things. So it's also helpful for them, I think, to have a place where they can take somebody, they know they're safe, they're going to know they're being taken care of, and move on to the next thing. So there's kind of two parts there. One is to support them just with dealing with a mental health issue, but also to give them that ability to do their job and have more time.
Right. And so, again, the working title name of this entity is this Crisis Drop-In Center. That may not be what it ends up being called, but that's kind of the idea that you're working on right now as you talk about this and what it could do.
Yes, absolutely.
Got it. And Lisa Gomez, again, from your standpoint, because we know you were very instrumental in getting the Mental Health Resource Center open as part of the county, and part of that, I think, needs assessment or that study that talked about what we need in the community, this just kind of follows along in that path, at least sounds like it to me.
It very directly follows that. It's identified as a gap, specifically in the report. Though it's 2019, it still is very much a valid document that we use in developing programs, supporting programs. So a drop-in center, just from my perspective, responding to crises,
when you are faced with someone walking in the door, I am not a mental health professional. I'm an administrator, but you have someone saying, I'm going to hurt someone, I'm going to hurt myself, and they're very agitated. I don't know where to take them. I've walked folks across the street to the ER. We've tried to call family members. We've called 988, which has been a wonderful resource in our community. But just to be the person that has been in that position where I'm not sure what to do to help this person, it speaks volumes to the need for a crisis center, drop-in center, drop-by center. We haven't decided, but right. There's a lot of iterations.
Sure. And you're right. It's not to say we don't have resources for mental illness in our community, but it's that immediate resource that we're talking about. When someone is in crisis right now, you can't wait till Monday morning at 8 to get in to see someone. You need some help right now. And that's what the difference is for what we're talking about.
Well, and it's even worse than that, Scott. It's, could be 3 months down the road because there's such a huge need and a shortage of practitioners.
Right.
In our community.
Understood. So this would really change that dynamic, it sounds like to me, if we had this available immediately.
It would. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it have been awesome for a young person to walk in and say, I think I'm going to hurt myself, or I'm having this, psychotic episode. I've been off my meds. Just to have a safe place to go.
Sure. Well, right.
And have someone know what to do.
Right. Or if not the individual, a family member or a friend who maybe is noticing something isn't quite right, or that their loved one is in crisis, to be able to maybe refer them or reach out to get some help, some immediate help, and not, again, have to wait 3 months, as you mentioned. So that makes sense to me. Next steps, Megan asked a little bit about that, but the committee is still meeting, and any timeline, I guess? What's your wish list? When do you want to have a ribbon cutting?
So I would say as soon as possible.
Right. That's the short answer.
That's the short answer. I think we really want to make sure that we have the business plan in place and ready to go. And I think that we'd like to have a lot of that done before the next legislative session.
You mentioned sustainability, and that's mm-hmm. got to be an important part, because it's one thing to open the doors, but another thing to keep them open.
Absolutely.
And so that's an important thing. Do you think, you talked about the legislative session, will you have some support from Santa Fe?
Absolutely. And I'm going to throw it to Lisa because I know that she has a little more information on that. But we've had amazing support.
Very good. Lisa Gomez, what do you hear from the state capitol?
Well, that's our goal. We actually had a state representative at one of our last mental health and courts committee. That's Judge Gurley's committee. There is support. And so our next step, I guess the timeline in the immediate future, like next month, is to ask some decision makers for some funds for this feasibility and business plan study. So June 2023 is the target, with the idea that we will have a document in place with all the statistics to start approaching state legislators and other funders for capital. But we still need to identify who's gonna run it. Where do we need to build it? Do we need to renovate an existing facility? So those things aren't settled yet. But so in the immediate future, next month, there will be an approach for some funds for the business plan.
Okay, very, very good. Christine Carlson?
Yeah, I just wanted to just comment on how amazing our community is and how many times we've pulled together for these projects. And you mentioned the Wellness Center. We have the Sycamore Center. We have Total Behavioral Health only exists because the community pulled together and got us going, as well as the Sobering Center and the Joint Intervention Program. So I just wanted to mention that we have a pretty amazing community. And when we pull together, we get some pretty amazing things done.
I think we would all agree on
that's
that
right.
In this room and beyond. So thank you for mentioning that. I think that's great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Well, we're really excited that this gap is going to begin to close and that we'll have another opportunity for folks who are in need of some help to find it. And so thank you both, Lisa and Christine, for coming on to talk to us about the Crisis Drop-In Center. And we look forward to talking to you in the future when things continue to gain some speed. So thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you, Fran.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Very good. Thank you both very much. And we'll be back with more here on KSJE's Solutions from the Street right after this.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The caregivers of San Juan Regional Medical Center are committed to bettering the quality of life, health, and care of individuals, families, and our communities. Life is their sacred trust. Better is their mission. Here is their home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910.
Join Zook the T-Rex as he roams the grounds at Visit Farmington's Free Joel Jamboree and Adventure Expo in Farmington, New Mexico on Saturday, June 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Off-roading, mountain biking, water sports, disc golf, art, and more make up this jolt-worthy event celebrating all the ways to play in Farmington. Don't miss out on family-friendly activities, food vendors, and presentations on the Bisti Badlands and outdoor recreation all at the Farmington Museum and Visitor Center. Visit FarmingtonNM.org for more details and mark your calendar to come play with us.
Positive Realty, your locally owned, full-service real estate brokerage, proudly serving buyers and sellers throughout San Juan County. Owner Realtor Matt Albright is ready to answer your real estate questions in an ever-changing market, offering his experience, market knowledge, and relaxed professional approach to every transaction. Positive Realty, making real estate goals a reality, always working on behalf of their clients' best interests. More information at 505-787-7121 or online at PositiveRealtyNM.com.
I am King Arthur.
Oh, you're not.
And this is Monty Python's Spamalot. A new musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Run away, run away!
Featuring a bevy of beautiful showgirls, cows, killer rabbits, and French people. Don't miss the smash hit Broadway musical Spamalot. Or else we shall say, nit!
Spamalot at the Farmington Civic Center June 8th through the 18th. Find tickets at fmtn.org/shows.
KSJE is proud to support Riverfest Memorial Day weekend in Farmington. Featuring music, food, crafts, a car show, a recycled fashion show, and races with wiener dogs and ducks. Find out more on Facebook at Riverfest New Mexico or online at riverfestnewmexico.com. Riverfest, a jolt-worthy event, May 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Welcome back to KSJE's Solutions from the Street. I'm Scott Micklin, along here with Megan Kalb. I got to introduce you this time.
I know.
How about that?
Shaking things up.
That doesn't happen, but, you know, it's a little different.
You always give
show.
Me the honor to
I do, to start the show. But we have a new guest.
Right.
To talk about another solution from the street. And Audra Winters is here from the San Juan Medical Foundation. Audra, good morning, and thank you for coming in this morning.
Well, good morning, Scott and Megan. It's nice to be here, and I love this, Solutions from the Street.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Right? It's our program. We do it twice a month on the second and fourth Fridays, kind of a solution to a community problem or concern. And so that's kind of why we're here today. And so we have you here because the foundation has stepped up with a solution to the tragedy that happened last week here in Farmington to provide funding for families of the shooting. And I wanted to ask you to describe a bit more about that project and how folks can help.
Sure. So last week after the tragedy, the mayor reached out to the foundation. The foundation has been around since 1985. We are a 501c3. So we are a nonprofit. We handle other different funds. So he reached out to us to see if we could handle the money because people knew that there was going to be unexpected expenses for the families and for the victims too. So people had started asking, where can I give money? Is there a project already set up? Mm-hmm. So he reached out to us and we agreed to take this on. And like with some of our other funds, we have it designated for Farmington Strong.
That's right.
When we get funds in, it goes directly into that. And until since we just started, not a lot of money in there. So once we get a good amount and people start really needing the funds, then we will start distributing them.
Gotcha. And so as long as the donation is marked Farmington Strong, you know that's directed to this particular fund.
Yes. Yes. It does need to be directed to Farmington Strong.
And these funds, who specifically do these funds go to? Is it just, you know, we had a few victims from the shooting. Is it just those folks? Is it maybe first responders who need mental health expenses? Like what's the target for it?
Yeah. So when, you know, it was first set up, we're just thinking of, you know, the victims and then the families of the deceased. But then I started getting calls from, there was a lady that was just driving by. She wasn't hurt. She didn't have to go to the hospital, but her car was destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, and all she had is liability insurance.
Right.
So we're obviously going to want to help her too.
Right.
And then one of the victims, he had to go to the hospital and his daughter took him and his grandson was in the car and was very distraught. So he's going to need some counseling. So we're going to help with that if it's not covered by insurance.
Right.
So, you know, things like that. Yeah. So we'll go outside the victims, but we really want to focus on the victims and the deceased family.
Right.
And we're already getting like donations that go directly that are in memory of some of the deceased. So we want to make sure that those go to those family members.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very good. And so this fund, as you said, has been established. It's gathering dollars and donations and things like that. Is there any deadline, I guess, for folks who maybe want to make a donation? I would imagine you can't keep open forever, but certainly it's open now.
Yeah, it's open now. And this is the first time we've ever set up a fund like this. It's just temporarily. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, most of it will go to medical, like you were mentioning, counseling. But there could be other expenses, you know, like the funeral expenses and so forth. And so we're going to, I did some research because it's new to us.
Sure.
So most people say leave it open for a year.
Okay.
Because, you know, especially if you are dealing with insurance, sometimes it can take a while if you, you know, get a bill. So we'll leave it open for a while. And then if there is any money, we are not keeping any of this money. I made that clear and the board made it clear too that, you know, if there's any money left over, maybe there'll be like a memorial set up, you know, a bench or, you know, whatever the families and the victims want to do.
Got it.
Too.
Very good.
So,
well, I can see that would make sense too, because sometimes, you know, maybe you think that after a tragic event, things have kind of calmed down a little bit, but maybe that anniversary date comes back and then that triggers some new stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to keep it going for
exactly.
a bit.
Especially when counseling, or maybe you drive down that street for the first time 6 months from now.
Right.
And something, like you say, triggers it too. So
very possible.
Yeah. And if it does need to be left open early, longer, we can. That was just when I did some research, that was kind of the guideline. Or if we, you know, if we give all the funds out, then we can, you know, close it and.
Sure.
And be done with it, too.
Very good. For our radio audience who can't see the poster that we have on the screen, Audra Winters, if they would like to make a donation or find out more or how to donate, is it just to the website? What's the easiest way or best way, would you say, to reach out to you or the foundation?
Sure. So you can go to our website, which is sanjuanmedicalfoundation.com. Made it nice and long for you. and it's right there on the home screen. Mm-hmm. So you just hit donate. The first drop down is Farmington Strong, so it'll be right there. Make your donations if you want it in memory of somebody. Put that in there, and then it goes directly to us. We get a notification that says Farmington Strong. All those funds get sent over into that bank. You can mail in a check if you'd like. Our post office box is P.O. Box 110, and that's Farmington, 87499. You can come by and see us in person.
Right.
And our address is 730 South Lake. We're not easy to find, but we would love to see you and, you know, take
worth
your
the
donations.
Trip. I have to say, worth the trip.
We get to meet you guys in person.
Exactly.
That's right. True.
Exactly. Well, and see that it's actually a building where, you know, where business does, you know, because that was some of the questions too. It's like, okay, well, how much money, you know, what's the percentage that the foundation is going to keep and blah, blah, blah. Most of our funds, you know, anytime you donate, you know that a certain percentage is going to have to go to operating expenses. So we made the decision that 100% would go to this fund.
So nothing will come out.
We will not be taking any percentage just because, I mean, obviously we wanted to do something for our community. Mm-hmm. And if those people are willing to give, then we want it directly to go to that. And because it is a short amount of time, too.
Right.
And we're used to doing stuff like this, so it's not like, oh, we have to create something new. And then also when you make a donation online through your credit card, there's always those credit card fees. So we are absorbing that cost too. So that'll go directly into the fund too, the full. So if you donate 25, you know, your 25 is going to go directly to the fund.
Nice. Very good.
You can also call us too. Okay. We can do things over the phone too.
Oh yeah, we could use our phones for a phone call.
No excuses.
Yeah, we try to make it easy. Yeah. You know, most of our donations have been coming in online.
Sure.
But you know, there are those other options if you're not feeling secure with doing something online. I totally understand that too.
Lots of options. So that's great. Very good. And of course, the Medical Foundation. You mentioned that this is what you do. You raise funds for mostly things related to San Juan Regional Medical Center, but this is a great thing that I think the foundation has reached out to be able to do for this incident as well.
Yes, we were very honored to be chosen, and you know, just want to make sure that the funds go where they are needed. You know, I know the state has stepped in and is going to do some funding, so that'll probably take some time for the victims and the families. But as you mentioned, those other people that weren't taken to the hospital, there's still going to be some trauma. Maybe you watch it outside your window or, you know, whatever it may be.
Sure.
So definitely reach out to us and we can, you know, right now I just have a list going because until we know how much we're going to be getting.
Right.
Then we can, you know, start distributing those funds too.
Good to know. And so again, same way to reach out if folks were affected, they can reach out to the Medical Foundation through all those different ways you mentioned.
Through all those different ways. Yeah. There's a contact us online too. So if you don't feel comfortable calling us or you think about it in the middle of the night.
Right.
Unfortunately, we're not there, so just email us and we'll get back to you that way.
Very good. That's great. A good thing, right?
Yeah, this is a great thing.
A great solution.
It's a great solution.
So we again, and
a
we
fast
just
fast solution. So
right?
Yeah. It was like it was set up, and I think when you send an email out that said the mayor called, it got the board's attention.
Right.
Well, and I'm sure they were all thinking, like, what can we do as the Medical
sure.
Foundation,
right.
or just as a community too? Because
right.
you know, everybody else was, you know, jumping into action and doing stuff and putting on visuals and stuff. And so, you know, and it's like you mentioned, it's going to be a long process for some to, you know, and it's all about just healing our community mm-hmm. too. So
very true.
Well, I do have a couple of things that people are doing that the funds are going to go directly to.
Yes.
To the Farmington Strong Fund. Denny's is going to host where 100% of their proceeds go to Farmington Strong. It'll probably be the first part of June, so watch our Facebook page and our website for when you can go to Denny's. It'll be a morning, like breakfast, early lunch time.
Okay.
I don't have the exact date, but I just kind of want to get on people's radar that that's what Denny's is doing here locally. Also, have you ever heard of the Heavy Equipment Rodeo?
No.
Sounds fascinating.
What is this?
I know, exactly. I totally want to go just to see.
Okay.
So, you know, heavy equipment like backhoes and all of that. Well, they have a rodeo. And these are actually people that are in the field that are going to be participating.
Showing their skills, I suppose, right?
Exactly,
with these heavy equipment.
So this is an ongoing thing. Well, they always choose a charity that where their sponsorship money will go and the money that they raise. So Farmington Strong was chosen for that, too. So that's going to be on June 14th out of Mickey Park.
Okay.
So
wow.
It's a Wednesday, which I guess because of the people that are in it, you know, have to work and stuff. But, yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I guess
big players.
Yeah,
so, if like I want to go just to see it.
Yeah, if there's another business that would like to maybe do an event and have the proceeds go to this fund, can they contact you again as
absolutely,
well
for absolutely.
Arrangements
yeah,
to make arrangements
of
that?
Churches reach out to us and so forth too. But
okay,
yeah,
that's
most
great.
Definitely.
Very good. Well, we really appreciate you coming in, Audra Winters from the San Juan Medical Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I hope you guys have a blessed weekend and come and see the flags on the field at the Boys and Girls Club.
That's
we
right.
Put those up this morning.
Healing Field is back again, so that's nice. We don't hear much from the Rotary Club to talk about that, so maybe they'll reach out again next year, but we'll see. But I'm glad you mentioned it.
Okay.
So thank you very much. That's wonderful. Any final thoughts, Megan Cullip, about the San Juan Medical Foundation and this Farmington Strong Fund?
No, I think it's amazing that we live in a community that can respond in such generous ways, and people continuously step up when it's called for. And so I'm glad there's a place for people to be generous to direct those funds towards. So
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. As part of a nonprofit, I can attest to how generous the community is. And
yes.
You can too, I know.
Yes.
From your work with your nonprofit.
Yes.
So there you go. Very good. Well, again, Audra, thank you for being here and for the work that you do with the Medical Foundation.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate that. You bet. Before we go, we will talk a little bit about what's coming up. Later on today, I got to talk about that because we're going to be taking KSJE on the road. We will be broadcasting online. We'll be streaming from Riverfest. The kickoff events this afternoon. We'll probably get down there and do a little early program around 4 o'clock because they're going to start everything up around 5. But we'll give you a little bit of a preview as to how things are looking at the park for Riverfest. That's coming up later on today. And then tomorrow, Megan Cullop, you have a show you've been working on.
Yes.
A music show.
Radio Free Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. every Saturday. And this is a genre-free show, meaning that you have no idea what you're going to hear.
Never. So I never know what I'm going to hear.
You never know what's coming up next in the playlist.
Don't know.
Because it could be a different decade, a different genre. Who knows? It's a free-for-all.
Yes.
And each week there's a theme, and these songs are geared around this theme. And so tomorrow's theme, I actually remember this week.
Okay.
Songs inspired by poetry.
Oh.
So you get literature and music in the same show.
Okay.
Yes.
Poetry, not limericks, because that would be a different show.
Limericks would be a very different show. No, poetry.
Yeah. Good. Very good. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
Awesome. That's coming up. And then we want to remind you that next week we'll be back on Friday with the That's Interesting program that we do on Fridays when folks can call in. It's kind of like your radio show. It's free form, right? It's format free. Right? So you can call in, talk about whatever.
Yep.
And we open the phone lines. And so again, that's on the first, third, and fifth Fridays of the month. This program, Solutions from the Street, is on the second and fourth Fridays of the month. So that's how you can kind of keep track of what is Scott and Megan doing on this Friday.
That's right.
What number Friday is it?
Yeah,
and then you'll know.
What are we in for?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's true. Because they're very different shows.
Exactly. Very
That's
different.
True. And then speaking of Solutions from the Street, if you have an idea or a solution that we haven't thought of yet,
you can email us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu and let us know the problem and the solution. We'd be happy to highlight everybody
on a future show.
So, yeah.
That's true. Reach out. So just send us an email. Or give us a call or send a message through Facebook, whatever, however you want to get in touch with us. But email is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Wonderful. Well, that I think will wrap up the show.
Wraps up today's show.
Yeah. It's been a great show.
It's been a great show.
Thanks to our guests and thanks to you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Well, they pay me to be here. Well, actually, I pay you to be here, too.
Yeah,
so I guess it all works out.
But, you know.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Have a great rest of your Friday and enjoy the Memorial Day weekend and certainly celebrate responsibly. And we will see you here next Friday right here on KSJE, everyone. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.